Well, if you have your Bibles this morning, I want to invite you to turn with me to the book of Romans, the 8th chapter, Romans chapter 8. Amen. Romans chapter 8, and we are in one of the greatest passages in all of Scripture. And as we look together, we're going to pick it up in verse 3 this morning and be reminded of what God has done for us in saving us. And it is amazing. It is awesome. And God has some answers here for us this morning. God has some answers to some things that we're struggling with today. Some of the issues, some of the problems, some of the difficulties we face as Christians. But also, He has answers here for us as those who don't know Christ yet. That there is an answer for where you are and what you're dealing with. Let's look together. Chapter 8 and verse 3. And I realize you've been up, boy. But one more time, we're going to stand together in honor of the reading of God's Word. Romans 8, 3. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God, sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Well, let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your word. We pray today that you would send the presence of the Spirit to just bring light, bring truth to us, to help us to see and to know, Lord, what it is that you're saying to us. And I pray this morning that you would draw us each one to your precious side, Lord. Help us to know you in a better way and to love you more. God, just fill our hearts with your love and your grace, your power. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, what Christ has done for us is He has made us right with Him. We call that being justified with God. It's where God looks at us and we have an indictment. We have a whole list of sins that just page after page after page after page of things that we've said, things that we've thought, things that we've done. And those things are facing us. We have an appointment with a holy God, a judge who will one day look at every one of those sins and He will judge us according to those. And the Bible calls that that day of judgment an awful time. It is a horrible time. But it says the books will be opened. And there's a book on you. And God has written there everything. You say, well, surely not everything. He's got it all. And now, the good news is that through Christ, what God does is God takes the righteousness of Jesus and He applies it to us. And He takes our sins, all those things we've done, He takes those and He removes them. He places them on His Son. And Jesus died on the cross for your sins. He paid that price for you. But it's only good if you receive it. It's only good if you yourself receive what He's done for you by faith. And so when you do that, you are justified. And what that means is that when God faces you now, there is no list of charges against you. Instead, you are covered with the righteousness of God through Jesus. And when God looks at you, He no longer sees all the ugly things you've said or done, all the ways that you've failed, all the struggles and the failure and the sin that you've had. What God sees when He looks at you is the righteousness of His Son. And we call that justification. We're not innocent, we're guilty. But God declares us innocent on the basis that Jesus has already paid the penalty. He's already taken our punishment. He's already paid the price. Everybody with me here? So we're justified. We are made right with God. And that's why in verse 1 he said, "There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ." And what that means is that one day when you stand before God as a child of God, you've been saved, you've been born again, what that means is that you will have no sin to answer for. Why? Because your sins have already been judged at the cross. They've already been paid for. And when you stand before God, your sin will not be the topic of the day. In fact, you will be in an entirely different judgment. You will be in a time of the judgment of believers. And believers will stand before God as well, but we will answer for our works and for our service to Christ, for how we utilized the gifts and abilities and talents that He gave us, for what we did or didn't do. It won't be about your salvation, though. You're saved. Okay? But on the other hand, those who don't know Christ, when you stand before God, everything you've ever done will be on the list. It will be brought up, and you will not have anyone to intercede for you. You will not have anyone to advocate for you. You will not have anybody to stand beside you and help to answer those charges. Well, it says, "It is appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment." And so we each one are going to stand before God. But there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Man, that's the good news of the gospel. It is that we're set free. Not because of anything about us, not because of any goodness in our part, but because of what Jesus has done for us. And frankly, we don't any of us deserve it. None of us. Not one. Well, so God has done that. And He says here in verse 3 that God did this by sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. And the important thing there is that, yesterday I went by the hospital and I saw Wyatt, the newest addition to our family. Wyatt Hopkins, Justin and Whitley had their baby on Friday afternoon. And I think he weighed in at 9'2", and he's a big old boy already, and off to a good start. But went by there, and you know, the wonderful thing about that is that God blesses us with these precious little lives, these precious little bundles of joy, and it's awesome, it's amazing, it's wonderful. But that little boy was born with an issue. Andre knows where I'm going here. He was born with a problem, and it's a sin problem. And we all are. And you look at that precious little baby and you just, oh, you know, and you just melt your heart and you just, you know, that child's a sinner. Well, just give him a chance now. You know, give him opportunity. Hadn't done anything yet, but the Bible says we are conceived in iniquity. Well, here's the vital distinction between our birth and the Lord Jesus' birth. We are conceived in iniquity. And so when we come out of the womb, our parents did not have to teach us how to lie and cheat and steal and to be selfish and all those things. It is naturally ingrained in us. It's a part of the sin nature. But Jesus was not conceived in iniquity. And because of that, He is come in the likeness of sinful flesh. That is, He came in flesh. He looks like us. He was born like us. But the one thing that was different was that He did not have that sin nature. And that's why He was able to go to the cross at Calvary and pay for your sins and my sins. It's because He had no sin of His own. Well, that is vitally important. That is a very important part of the doctrine of salvation. God sent His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin. And in doing this, He condemned sin in the flesh. So, thank God that that's been done. And He says here, verse 4, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. All right, so last time we looked a little bit at the Holy Spirit, what the Spirit does. Because here's what happens when we get saved. When we're saved, the Spirit of God is the one, according to Titus chapter 2, who regenerates us, who causes us to be born again. Okay? And just like we're born physically, now we're born spiritually. Something inside of us has changed. Something is new there. Something is there that wasn't there and before. And now we have new life. We've got this new start. We've got this new beginning. And it's amazing and it's wonderful and it's powerful. And God is doing this and He's fulfilling the righteous demands of the law. He, in every part of this, everything is, God's not overlooking anything. God has every part of this in mind. Yes, there's sin. Yes, there's a penalty for sin. Yes, there's, all of this stuff that the law says, but it's all being fulfilled in Jesus. And so, as we come to receive Christ, well, there's more happening than we can know. But Paul says here that one of the things that's going to happen when we get saved is we're going to walk not after the flesh. We're going to be changed. We're going to be different. And the neat part about that is that I don't know if you remember when you were saved. Some of y'all have been saved a few years. Let me just take a quick survey here. How many of y'all been saved for 50 years? You have to think about this, some of you. 50 years or more. 50 or more. Raise them up high. Let's just... All right, so there's quite a few. Amen. So are y'all 2 or 3 years old when you got saved? Okay, well, anyway. All right. Yeah, there's a little bit of... But amen. Praise God. How about... Say 40 years. Anybody in that category somewhere in there? Amen. Amen. 30 plus, 30 to 40, somewhere in there. I think I fall in that range. 20 to 30. Now we're getting a little closer to... some of y'all aren't even old enough to raise your hand yet. So, all right. How about 10 years to 20 years you've been saved now? Anybody like that? Several. All right, 5 to 10, anybody in that group? Several. All right. How about if you've been saved for a year, up to 5 years? All right, and then we're down to less than a year. Amen. Praise God. Well, now look. I remember when the preacher used to ask those kinds of questions from the pulpit. And oh, man. It bothered me. But the reason it bothered me was because if at some point I did raise my hand, I was telling a lie because I wasn't saved. And so if you just lied, well, that's not good. That's one more thing you're going to answer for. But God can take care of that. You can be saved and you don't have to worry about it anymore. And it's good. But, everybody in here has a birthday. We celebrate birthdays. We've had several at the beginning of the service. And that's good. But even more important is your spiritual birthday. And you need one. And if you don't have one, you can. So I want to encourage you. But here's what happens when we get saved. The Spirit of God comes to live within us. The word in the New Testament is literally to indwell. He dwells within us. He lives within us. He takes up residence in your life. And we speak of it as being in your heart. Okay? And, you know, if you want to really dissect the human personality, then, you know, you can use a different designation. I like heart. Okay? So, you know, I have no problem with saying that we invite Christ into our heart, because that's our innermost part of us. That's the seat of our emotions and our feelings and our will. And so, when Christ comes in, He begins to change. The Spirit of God moves in, and guess what? He starts rearranging some furniture in our heart. He starts changing up. He starts moving around and fixing things and saying, no, you don't need that now. That's not, you don't need this at all. And He just, you know, some things He's going to throw out of your life. But look, that's the work of the Holy Spirit. And one of the challenges for us as Christians, because sometimes we think that we are the ones who've got to make those changes. We are the ones who've got to fix all those things that are wrong. And that's not the case. It is the work of the Spirit. It is the work of the Holy Spirit. And He is essential in your faith. He is not just a little add-on, optional thing that you can get if you're really, you know. Every believer has the Spirit of God. Or we just read, you're not one of His. And so when the Spirit of God comes in, He starts changing. And suddenly, you're not going to be wanting to walk after the things of the flesh anymore. The flesh, we're not just speaking about our skin and bones and in our body. We're talking about the sinful part of who we are. Okay? So when the Spirit comes in, He begins to lead you. He begins to guide you. He begins to direct your life. And suddenly, you don't want to walk after the flesh anymore, but after the Spirit. So, we talked about how that we're sealed by the Spirit. He becomes our teacher. He becomes our guide. He gives us strength to be witnesses for Him. He brings awareness of the truth, which is Jesus. The Holy Spirit's work is not to draw attention to Himself ever. He's always pointing people to Christ. That's His work. And so, when we think about this then, what an amazing truth here, but how we need to know that what we are inside is going to come out on the outside. All right? Jesus said it this way. He said, as a man thinks within himself... No, I'm sorry. I'm quoting from a different verse there. He said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. All right? And then the proverb says, as a man thinks within himself, so is he. And so, you know, one of the keys for us is that it's not so much about what you do. We can become very focused on doing. Do this, do this, and do this, and don't do this, and don't do this, and don't do this, and we're all good. The problem with that is that that's not the truth. You're following a list of rules and regulations, and you're basing your righteousness, your hope of heaven, your salvation on things that you do or things you don't do. And that's backwards. And so what we have to do is we have to receive Christ. And when we do, the Spirit of God takes up residence within us. And He begins to work out this wonderful salvation within us. He begins to deal with us and He begins to change us from the inside out. And so what's happened to you in your heart, it's going to come out. You know, it's like the little girl that, you know, she was trying to understand what it meant to invite Jesus into her life and into her heart and receive Him as her Savior. And you know, she was kind of thinking in terms of the physical. And she said, you know, but Mama, if I have Jesus in my heart, won't He stick out all over? Yes, He will. not in the way she was thinking. But when Christ comes in, He makes this difference and He changes us. And suddenly we're sweeter. Suddenly we have more joy, and suddenly we're funner to be around. Now, here's the thing we come to with that though. The Holy Spirit is at work within us, and He's producing those good things, those fruit of the Spirit. And it's amazing. It's wonderful. It's a joy. It's wonderful to be married to somebody who's filled with the Holy Spirit. It's wonderful. But as a believer, God doesn't move in and have this bulldozer mentality that He just does it all. He relies on us to surrender those areas of our life, to allow Him to work and to move. And there's times when we follow after the flesh instead of the Spirit. There's times when we have something brought to us, something that's said, something that's done, and boy, we snap. And we're ugly. And that's not the Spirit of Christ within you doing that. And we need to know, first of all, that even though we're saved, we're still going to mess up. We're still going to sin. That's still a real thing. And when we do, 1 John chapter 1 and chapter 2 tells us that if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And He is there interceding for us. And we go to Him and we confess our sin. We repent of it. We turn from it. And He forgives us and we're good. But folks, as Christians, how is it that our life can be characterized by ugliness and pettiness and critical ways of attacking people? And how is it that our life can just be filled with that stuff? And I want to tell you, if that's true for us, there's a problem. We need the Spirit of God to lead us. But some of y'all have tried to lead a child or calf or, you know, an animal or something that didn't want to be led. They're protesting and they're planting their feet and they're, you know, kind of reminds me of Brother Phil Whitten. He was pastor for a lot of years up at Oak Cliff, and he led a man to Jesus, or a lady to Jesus one time, and she had Alzheimer's, but she had a clear moment and she got saved. And so she was going to be baptized. And so she got in there, but that clarity suddenly disappeared. And as he was about to baptize her, she grabbed a hold of the side of the baptistry. And he was trying to get her down and she was fighting. And it was a big tussle in the baptistry going on. And hopefully we won't have anything like that tonight, Zach. But he ended up, he got her partway down and then he just kind of splashed some water and called it good. And so it was a kind of combination Baptist Presbyterian kind of baptism or something. I don't know. But the Lord knows. But, you know, there's something within us sometimes that just protests, and we don't want what God has for us and what God wants for us. And we hang on and we hold on to our stubbornness and our sinfulness, and we need to let go. We need to release those things. And so today, you know, when the Spirit of God leads you, He will not lead you in any way that is going to be ugly and mean and unkind and uncaring. That's not the Spirit of God within you. You say, well, preacher, what about all those people who claim to be Christians and yet who act in those ways sometimes? Well, Number one, we all fail. So there are some good, godly people who just fail sometimes. And some have a blind spot in some particular area. Well, I think we all have some blind spots in some areas. We just don't even realize what we're saying or what we're doing. And we're not allowing the Spirit of God to change that part of our life. And we need to. And so when people, and I had a lady tell me this one time, a very wise woman, she said, when people criticize you, look for the grain of truth in it. Because often we're just upset that somebody criticized us, but maybe instead we should be looking and saying, God, is there a reason for that criticism? Is there something that's valid that I need to deal with? Well, when the Spirit of God leads you, He's going to lead you to do what is right. And yes, there, you know, all of us fail. We all sin. We don't want to. But I can tell you as your pastor, I'm going to fail you. I don't want to, but I will. And so that's there. We also have some folks within the church who frankly don't know Christ. And the reason that they act like they're lost is because they're lost. So that's there. And so don't think, you know, well, he goes to church. Well, you know, you cannot presume on anybody. You don't know their heart. So we just need to know this truth, that those who walk with the Lord, they're not going to walk after the flesh. Or at least they're not going to want to walk after the flesh. And when they do, they're going to know. Because the Spirit of God is right there to say, no, that's not it. That's wrong. Shouldn't have said that, Mackenzie. Shouldn't have done that. But also, though, the Spirit of God, as we do right, is there to help us to know. Help us to do it. He's going to give you strength. You know, God doesn't just give you an unfunded mandate, okay, like the government does sometimes, Brother Gary. God gives us a mandate that's fully funded by the power of the Holy Spirit. And He says, you need to do this, but then He gives you the strength to do exactly what He said. You know, we see these new babies being born in our family, and man, that's pretty sweet. That's just awesome. But you know, along with that, we've got some parents who are looking at that little baby and going, okay, well, maybe that was just, you know, my initial response. But you get that new baby born, and then suddenly you realize, I got to raise this child. I got to feed it and clothe it and bathe it and burp it and, you know, all this stuff. And I got to teach it and lead it. And somehow I got to help it not to be turn out like me. Now, the difficult part of that is that usually at some point, we'll look at our kids and we'll see us and we'll think, oh. And, it, you know, it's just part of it. But you know what? That's where the Spirit of God comes in. Those who do not walk after the flesh, but after the Spirit. We want to be people who are led by the Spirit, who walk in the Spirit, who are filled with the Spirit, who are controlled by the Spirit. You know, that's what Paul said in Ephesians. I believe it's 5:18. He said, don't be drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. That is, don't be controlled by intoxicants of whatever type, of drugs or of alcohol or of anything. Don't let anything control you, but let the Spirit of God control you. Be filled with the Spirit. And you can almost translate that, be drunk in the Spirit. Don't be drunk with wine. Be drunk with the Spirit. Because when He... Well, you will talk different. You know, people who are drunk, they talk different. They walk different. They act different. And, you know, we kind of make fun of some of that. But honestly, if you've ever been around a mean drunk, it's not fun at all. It's horrible. It's awful. But when the Spirit of God is filling your heart, you're intoxicated with the Spirit, your walk's going to be different. Your talk is going to be different. Your demeanor, everything about you. Because the Spirit of God is leading you. So I want to encourage you this morning. You've got two choices here as a believer. If you're a child of God, in every given moment, you've got an opportunity to say, Lord, I want You more than what the world has for me or what I think or what I want even. I want You, Lord. I want You to lead me and guide me. And you have an opportunity to surrender your heart and your life to Jesus every day, every moment, and just to walk with Him and see Him work. On the other hand, you can say no. Yeah, you can go into toddler mode, basically. And you can choose what you want. But the problem with that is when you begin to do that, you're going to begin to suffer the discipline that God brings on your life. Because if you're His child, He's going to discipline you as His child. He's not going to let you go on and on and on like that. He's going to discipline you. He's going to deal with you as His son. And if He doesn't, that tells me that either you're not a child of God or you've gone so far that you've quit even hearing the voice of God. And either of those is a terrible place to be. So you've got a choice, my brother, my sister. And I want to encourage you to choose to walk after the Spirit, to follow closely after the Spirit. And that doesn't just happen because you come to church on Sunday. It happens because every single day you are in the Word of God and you're allowing the Spirit of God to take the inspired Word of God and to change your mind, to transform you, to change the way you think, to change the kind of person you are. And it comes and it works its way out. And people around you will begin to see a difference when you're walking with Christ. They will see it. They will know it. And when you're not, they will see that and they will know that. And I want to encourage you today, Christian. I want to plead with you. Don't for one moment think that our justification of ourself is ever, ever adequate. We need to surrender every day, every moment to Christ. Well, and then for those who don't know Christ, if you've never been saved, listen to me for just a moment. If you never trusted Jesus, and it doesn't matter if you're 10 years old or you're 80 years old, if you've never trusted Christ, you have a choice also today. And the choice is to receive this One who has already paid your price. He's done everything so that you can be saved and forgiven. And then, yes, He will come and He will help you to be the person you want to be, you need to be. But I want to encourage you today, if you've never done that, invite Christ in. Open up your heart. Let's bow our heads. We're going to have a moment of invitation and seeking the Lord. And if God is working on your heart and dealing with you, then I want to just invite you right now. You know it. If you're here today and you're not saved, then you know it. Maybe somebody here will say, well, I'm not sure. I'm not sure if I'm saved. Well, we read a moment ago, and we'll deal with it more later on, but it says that, I don't think we did read this verse, but it's down there in the passage a little further. It says that the Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if you're saved, the Spirit of God will bear witness with your spirit. He will tell you. One of the ways He will do that is He will convict you when you do wrong. He will convict you. He will teach you. He will lead you. He will help you. He will affirm to you in your spirit, yes, you're My child. Yes, you're saved. And so, if you're struggling today and you're in doubt, ask Him. Say, Lord, would You show me? Am I truly a Christian? Am I truly saved? Because I want to get this one right. And this is the most important question in life. It doesn't matter what anybody thinks of you or what you've done in the past. If you need to settle this question, settle it. Do whatever it takes, settle it. And so if you feel within your heart the need to invite Jesus into your life today, you know you're lost, I want to invite you right now just to pray a simple prayer. Say, "Oh God, I know I'm a sinner. I know I've messed up in many ways, and I'm so sorry. Lord, would you forgive me? I believe that Jesus died on that cross for my sins. And today, by faith, I receive you, Jesus, as my Savior, my Lord. Come into my life and my heart, my very being. Change me. Make me into the man or the woman you want me to be, God." Tell Him from your heart. There's no certain magic words you say. There's no certain prayer you pray. But it's faith in your heart. It's believing. And the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, you know, the other part of receiving Him, not just believing in your heart, but confess Him. And so I want to give you an opportunity today to confess Christ and let others know that you are receiving Him. So in a moment, when I pray, I'm just going to ask you if you'd like to confess Christ as your Savior. I'm going to ask you to stand and come and stand here with me. And I want to pray with you and encourage you. And these folks in this room want to know. They're praying for you right now, some of them. They're asking God to touch you and help you. And then, Christian, there may be someone here who would say, "You know, the Spirit of God just reminded me this morning. And He's shown me that I have some blind spots in my life. I have some areas where I'm failing and I need His help." And Christian, I want to invite you to humble yourself and seek Him in this moment. This altar's here. If you need to come, come. You can make an altar where you are. That's fine. You may need someone to pray with you about something. Please, I'd be honored to do that. Come. Whatever it is. Jesus said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Father, I pray that you'd give us grace today to come to the Lord Jesus from wherever we are, from whatever need we have, whether we're lost and we've just received you, or we're lost and we still need to be saved, or we're a Christian but we're just allowing sin to have too much of a place in our life. We're allowing the flesh to rule. Lord, give us grace in this moment to come to you, Jesus.